Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you again for this Christmas season. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to set aside a season to remember the birth of our Lord. But Father, we confess we ought to be remembering him every day. Every day should be Christmas Eve. We celebrate the coming of our Lord. Thank you, Father, for the time that we had Friday evening. We were blessed. We pray, Father, that you were pleased and honored and blessed by our worship. As we look forward to next Sunday, we just invite your guidance and direction, your wisdom, your grace, your peace that passes all understanding, like Dan was talking about. Father, may we know that comfort. And as issues come up that need to be dealt with, we pray for grace and wisdom to deal with them in a godly way. Thank you for this time that we can look now into your word, Father. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to invite you to be turning in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. Book of Deuteronomy. We are coming up Friday night, New Year's Eve, Saturday, New Year's Day. And last week we talked about Advent and that traditionally Advent has had a double focus, looking backward at the coming of Christ, his birth, that whole Bethlehem scene, all of that. But also Advent is looking forward to his next coming, his second coming, his return for us. And so with the Advent celebration, there's a dual focus, looking back and looking forward. And there's a sense in which when we come to New Year's Day, that there's a time, maybe it's just because we're turning over a new calendar, but we tend to mark milestones like this with setting some time apart to pause and reflect. How has your life been during 2021? How has God demonstrated his faithfulness to you? How has God led you? Looking backwards and giving thanksgiving to God for his blessings, but also then looking forward. What do you want 2022 to be like? Now, I realize that a lot of that's out of our control. Who knows what COVID's going to do? Who knows what the weather is going to do? We pray for snow. Okay. A lot of things are out of our control. A lot of things are not anything that we can do anything about. However, there are things that are in our control. And there are things that we can do things about. Like picking up a Bible reading guide for 2022 and saying, you know what? I've never been able to stick with it, but for 2022, I'm going to try to stick with it through the whole year, read through the Bible, or just read through the New Testament, or just read through the Old, maybe you've never read through the Old Testament before. Pick up a Bible reading guide. Pick a section. There are three different sections you can read. Pick something, just so you can have that commitment, have that guidance, have that direction in your life, looking back and looking forward. There's a sense in which we're kind of standing on the brink of a new year. And, you know, in one sense, it's just you turn a page in a calendar. Big deal. What's the big deal about making a new year? On the other hand, it's a milestone. We have made it through another year. And when we come to a milestone like that, I think it's good to make some New Year's resolutions. You can make New Year's resolutions on the 27th of March. You realize that. There's nothing special about January 1st, except January 1st tends to invite that kind of thing. Invite that introspection to examine your life, how 2021 went. Not just how were you treated, what happened to you, but how did you respond? How did you respond to what happened to you? How do you want to respond? You're not knowing what's coming in 2022. How do you want to prepare yourself spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically? How do you want to prepare yourself for what's coming in 2022? We're on the brink of a new year. And I thought, okay, so where can I go to find a passage that talks about instructions for people who are on the brink of something new? And I thought, Deuteronomy. Y'all love Deuteronomy, right? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 1 talks about a people that are on the brink. And so I would suggest, as we try to get some feel for this passage, as we try to think about the context, what was going on? What, looking back from Deuteronomy chapter 1, help me here. Looking back from Deuteronomy chapter 1, what's in their recent history? Pardon? The Exodus? Is that what you said? Okay. Yeah, the Exodus. Okay. So they had been 450 years slaves in Egypt, crying out to God, Lord, send us a deliverer. And God sent Moses. And you remember the ten plagues against Egypt and the death of the firstborn. And God sent Moses and led them out and they're parting the Red Sea. You've all seen the movie, right? Okay. The Exodus. That's part of their recent history. What else is there? 400 years of slavery. What's been more recent than that Exodus? More recent than the Exodus? Come on, guys. Barbara? I'm sorry? Complaining. Oh, my goodness. We're going to talk about that. They have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And that wandering in the wilderness is coming to an end. So they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're on the brink. Okay? Looking forward then from Deuteronomy chapter 1. What are they on the brink of? Okay? Going into the promised land, Dan. Going into the promised land. Okay? They're going to cross the Jordan River. And Deuteronomy, just the name itself, Deutero, means second. Namas is the Latin word for law. So Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. And in fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, you see another repetition of the Ten Commandments. You find them almost word for word as they were in Exodus chapter 20. So this is the second law. But is that all the book of Deuteronomy is about? Is just giving them a whole, reviewing for them the whole list of laws? I think Deuteronomy is preparing them for what they're on the brink of. What are they on the brink of? Crossing the Jordan River into the promised land. And they're going to take control of the promised land, right? What's the only problem with that? It ain't empty. Yeah, it's occupied. There are Hittites and Amorites and seven different ites that were living there. Okay? And Israel's going to have to drive them all out. So Moses is giving them instructions as they're on the brink. And Moses is looking backward and looking forward and giving them instructions. And I think we're not Israel, okay? We're not Israel. We're not being directly led by God. We're not entering the promised land. We don't have to kill anybody. We don't have to defeat anybody. We don't have to drive anybody out of their land. But I believe that there are principles in what Moses reminds them of and reviews for them in Deuteronomy chapter 1. I believe there are principles for a people on the brink of something new. What are we on the brink of? 2022. Who knows what COVID's going to do? Who knows what the weather's going to do? Who knows what this joint meeting of churches starting next week is going to be like? Who knows? God knows. God knows about that. But we stand, as it were, on the brink of this new year, of this new experiment with the two churches coming together. What are we supposed to do? How should we conduct ourselves? How should we seek God's guidance from the Word? Well, I suggest to you that the principles that Moses shares with the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 1, those principles are valid principles for any people on the brink. Not just Israel facing entering the promised land, but for Fellowship Bible Church facing 2022 with whatever it holds for the future. on the brink. Principles. So I call this New Year's preparation. New Year's prep from Deuteronomy chapter 1. Did you find Deuteronomy 1? Did I stall long enough to get you time to find it? Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 1. What I'm going to do is just go through this chapter, and we're going to go not exactly in strict order. I'm going to catch a couple of topics together and then go back a little bit. But I want to draw out some principles from what Moses tells the people in the nation of Israel as they are on the brink of entering the promised land. And I believe those principles will be valid principles for us as we are on the brink of 2022. Okay? We're not Israel. We're not the promised. We're not the chosen people in that sense. But I believe these principles will be valid. And I believe you'll be able to find all of these principles repeated for you in the New Testament. Start with me, Deuteronomy 1:1. These are the words which Moses spoke to all Israel across the Jordan in the wilderness and the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. Skip on down verse 6. Maybe there aren't any hard names in there. Verse 6. Yahweh our God spoke to us at Horeb, saying, "You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Turn and set your journey and go into the hill country of the Amorites and to all their neighbors in the Arabah, in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Negev and by the seacoast, the land of the Canaanites and Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. See, I have placed the land before you. Go in and possess the land which Yahweh swore to you, give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to them and their descendants after them." Moses says, let's remember what God already told us to do. Let's remember God's past instructions. God had told them when they left the promised land, or when they left Egypt. God had said, okay, I'm going to lead you into the promised land. And you'll remember the story in the book of Numbers. They sent spies into the land, and spies came back and said, oh, it's a great land, flows with milk and honey, brought some great big bunches of grapes. God had told them, go in, conquer the land, I'm with you. That was God's instruction for them. So here they are now on the brink of crossing the River Jordan to go into the land as God had told them to do. Except there's been almost 40 years since God told them to, and they've been wandering the wilderness. But God says, okay, guys, we need to get back to the basics. Here's what I want you to do. Let me tell you again, because you seem to have forgotten. Let me tell you again, because you seem to have forgotten. Sometimes when we're facing a major transition, we think, well, we need to do something radically different. We're facing a major transition. And I'd like to suggest to you that when we're facing a major transition, maybe the main thing we need to do is keep on doing the things that God has told us to do already. The things that we know God told us to do. Keep doing those things. I don't think God calls us to do something radically different. I think He calls us to radical obedience to what He's already told us to do. So Moses is giving the people a reminder. Remember God's past instructions. This is what God told them to do. That's what He told them when they came out of the land of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. And He's just reminding them, this is what you're to do. What has God told us to do? Abide in Christ. Study the Word. Fellowship with one another. Confess sin. Walk with Christ. Is that exciting? Is that radical? Is that transformational? Maybe not. But sometimes getting back to the basics is exactly what we need to do. Sometimes getting back to the basics is exactly what we need to do. Go on with me, starting in verse 9.
I spoke to you at that time, saying, I'm not able to bear the burden of you alone. Yahweh your God has multiplied you, and behold, You aren't this day like the star, like the stars of heaven in number. May Yahweh, the God of your fathers, increase you a thousandfold more than you are and bless you, just as he has promised you. How can I alone bear the load and burden of you and your strife? Ooh, and your strife. Verse 12. Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribes, and I will appoint them as your heads. You answered me and said, the thing which you have said to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands and hundreds of fifties and of tens and officers of your tribes.
Remember past wise decisions. A lot of times, again, I think we look for something that's unique. We look for something spectacular. What Moses is telling the people is, let's remember what worked in the past. I couldn't lead you. Remember that situation, Exodus chapter 18? Moses is judging the people, and they are coming before him all day long, bringing their troubles and their trials and cases and suits and everything. And Moses' father-in-law says, what you're doing is not good. You're going to wear out. Choose from among yourselves wise men that you can appoint, and let them take care of the little cases, and you just handle the big things, Moses. And Moses said, hey, that's a good idea. And all the people agreed. Remember past wise decisions. Have you made wise decisions in your life in the past? Decisions that you know as you look back, God blessed. Whether it's decisions about your walk with the Lord, studying the Bible, witnessing to neighbors, how you handle yourself on your job. Do you remember wise choices that you've made in the past? Often what we need is not something brand new and unique. We need to maintain routine faithfulness. Now, that's not going to get a lot of people excited, unfortunately. But that's what God is looking for. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it is required of a steward that a man be found exciting, innovative, creative. No, it's required of a man that a man be found faithful. Faithful. Remember the decisions that you've made in the past that were obviously wise decisions, and follow up on those. Make those decisions again.
Jump ahead with me. We're going to come back, but I'm on the theme of remembering. Skip on down to verse 30 with me. Chapter 1, verse 30. Deuteronomy 1:30. Yahweh your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how Yahweh your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place.
Remember God's past faithfulness and deliverances. Moses reminds the people of God's faithfulness in Egypt and the 10 plagues that God brought against the land of Egypt and Pharaoh. Why? Because they needed to know he's still the same God who did that. They needed to know he's still the same God. I've mentioned before the song, Be Still My Soul. The line in that song, the wind and waves still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. There's nothing that's out of God's control. He's still God. He hasn't rendered, given up his sovereignty to anybody. Remember how he has delivered you in the past. Remember his faithfulness in the past. Are we facing a lot of uncertainty in 2022? Absolutely. Who knows what new variant of COVID is going to come up and how fast it's going to spread and how deadly it might be and all the things. And again, whether it's ever going to snow in Denver again. But has God been faithful to us in the past? Has God provided for us everything we need? And has he promised that he will provide every need that we have? Moses is reminding them of that. God has been faithful in the past, and he doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no shifting shadow, no variation in God, James 1. He's still the same God. If He took care of you in the past, guess what you can expect for the future? Him to take care of you. Do we know what that's going to look like? No. Do we need to know what that's going to look like in advance? No. We just need to know God. Never fail to trust an uncertain future to a known God. You can trust Him for the future because you know Him. Because He has a track record of having taken care of you. Remember God's past instructions. Remember your past wise decisions. Remember God's past faithfulness and deliverances. The same God who had taken care of Israel before is going to take care of them again. And so what's the solution? Verse 32. But for all this you did not trust Yahweh your God, who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp, in fire by night and cloud by day, to show you the way in which you should go. So what do you need to do? Trust God. Trust God. As we face all of the uncertainty, the economy, the weather, the COVID, all of this stuff, who knows what disasters 2020 or 2022 holds for us? We have no idea. But God has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Trust Him. He has a track record. And that's what Moses wants the nation of Israel to do, is to remember God's track record with them. And just as they should have trusted Him in the past, which they didn't always do, they should trust Him in the future, which is what they need to do. They're facing a terribly uncertain future. Who knows what lies on the other side of the Jordan? Before, when the spies went up, they said, there are giants in the land. We can't possibly conquer them. We can't possibly defeat them. But God could. If I didn't know that we were facing 2022 with God, I'd be in despair. I'd be in despair. It doesn't surprise me that there are suicides among people who don't know Christ. What surprises me is there aren't more. If you didn't know Christ, you didn't have any guarantees from Him about the future, and your future looked terrible, why continue? Man, just end it. Suicide would be the most reasonable, logical thing to do for an unsaved person who doesn't know God. That's why it's so important for us to tell them about Him. Trust God. Okay, go back with me. Now, they had an advantage that we don't. They had the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Can you imagine a thief coming out of his tent thinking, I'm going to sneak into somebody else's tent and steal something, and he lifts up the tent flap and he starts to crawl under it, and my, but it's bright out here. And he looks up and sees that pillar of fire by night and realizes that's a representation of God watching him. And I suspect he just puts the tent flap down and goes back and goes to bed. We don't have that kind of leadership from God, unfortunately. But God has given us His Holy Spirit indwelling us. And Jesus said, it's important for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. So evidently He thought it was better for believers to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit than to have His physical presence. Furthermore, we have the Holy Spirit illumining the Word to us, applying it in our lives, helping us make wise decisions based on its principles, like we're looking at from Deuteronomy 1. Go back now with me, verse 13, Deuteronomy 1:13. Choose wise and discerning and experienced men from your tribe, and I will appoint them as your heads. You answered me and said, the thing which you have said to do is good. So I took the heads of your tribes, wise and experienced men, and
appointed them heads over you, leaders of thousands and of hundreds of fifties and tens and officers in your tribes.
Don't try to do it alone. Moses knew that God had called him to lead the nation, and he took that responsibility seriously. Unfortunately, he took it too seriously. He thought he had to do it all. And as I mentioned in Exodus chapter 18, his father-in-law came and visited him. And he said, Moses, what you're doing is not good. Can you imagine how that must have affected Moses? Here he is trying his hardest, wearing himself out, trying to serve God, and his father-in-law comes and tells him, what you're doing is not good. What do you mean it's not good? I'm trying to serve God with all I've got. His father-in-law said, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to share the responsibility with others. Is that a New Testament principle? 2 Timothy 2. The things which you have learned and heard and seen in me, commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. We have a lot of pastors in churches in America who are burned out. Pastors are leaving the ministry because they're burned out because they're trying to do it all by themselves. We prayed for years for God to raise up or bring to us another elder. I'm so thankful for Dan, for his encouragement, for his help, for his wisdom.
Don't try to do it alone.
I believe Jacob Heaton has a lot to offer to our church as a young man. I'm anxious to see how things go when we start meeting together next week. I think this principle of not trying to do it alone is going to be supported, be evidenced by the two churches coming together. I'm praying that we'll be able to do far more together than we can each by ourselves alone. And I see that principle illustrated here. Verse 16.
Then I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the cases between your fellow countrymen, and judge righteously between a man and his fellow countrymen, or the alien who is with him. You shall not show partiality in judgment. You shall hear the small and the great alike. You shall not fear man, for the judgment is God's. The case that is too hard for you, you shall bring to me, and I will hear it. I commanded you at that time all the things that you should do.
Keep doing what's right. Sometimes when we face a crisis, when we face a major obstacle, when we face a brink that requires a major step of us, we lose sight of routine faithfulness. Beloved, God may be calling us to make some uncomfortable, difficult decisions in coming days. We dare not give up doing what we know we're supposed to be doing all the time anyway, because of those unique or special circumstances that we have to act on. Keep on keeping on. Remember our youth pastor from when Linda and I were in high school and college. One of the things he taught us, keep on keeping on. Don't give up. Don't give up your routine faithfulness just because you're facing some unique obstacle or challenge or brink. You're facing something. The Jews have never gone across the Jordan River before. As a nation like this, they've never encountered all of those Hittites and Amorites and Perizzites and all those other ites that they're going to have to fight. So what does God want them to do? First of all, he wants them to keep doing the routine faithfulness he has expected of them all along anyway. Don't give up what you're doing. Continue to do what's right.
It would have been wrong for the Jews to say, okay, we're going to cross the Jordan River and we're going to have to fight, so we're going to have to do things that we've never done before. And we're going to have to stop doing the things we've been doing because this is a totally unique situation.
It is a unique situation that requires routine faithfulness to approach it. Routine faithfulness. Keeping on, keeping on.
skip on down, verse 26. Moses reminding them of when they had sent the spies into the land. Verse 26. You were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of Yahweh your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because Yahweh hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of the Anakim there. And I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. Do not be shocked nor fear them. Yahweh your God who goes before you will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness, where you saw how Yahweh your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place.
I believe Moses is telling them, recognize the obstacles, but don't fear them. Recognize the obstacles, but don't fear them. The spies were sent into the land, 12 men, one from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they came back and they brought this report and they said, yes, the land flowing with milk and honey, it's a wonderful land. This is some of the fruit of its produce. But there are giants in the land and the cities are fortified to the heavens and the Anakim are there and we were like grasshoppers in their sight. What are they forgetting? They're forgetting God. They are like grasshoppers. The enemies are like grasshoppers in God's sight. They needed to get the proper perspective of what was going on. They needed to have a proper perspective of whose battle it was. Recognize the obstacles. Are there obstacles that we're going to face in 2022? Absolutely. Some of them we may be able to guess what they are, COVID, weather, you know, on and on. Some of them we may have no idea. 2 years ago, who would have ever thought that we'd have been in this COVID pandemic for almost 2 years now? We may face something that we have no idea what's coming down the pipe. But God knows. Recognize the obstacles. God does not call Christians to be, you know, ostriches with our heads stuck in the sand, ignoring what's going on. The world has an impression of us, that we ignore the situation that's going on in the world. We don't ignore that. We just realize God's bigger than that. We see it through biblical worldview glasses so that we see the problems not in the light of our own weakness, but in the light of the power of God. And it changes everything. It changes everything when you see things with God in the picture than if you see things without God in the picture. It's a totally different picture, beloved. So why do we let the world paint the picture for us? Why do we allow the world to frame our responses when God has told us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Be anxious for nothing. Don't forget God. God hasn't forgotten you, and he has no intention of forgetting you. Recognize the obstacles. God doesn't call us to be ignorant. He wants us to recognize the problems, and he wants us to realize he's bigger than them. Oh, but did you notice verse 26 and verse 27? Beware of grumbling. Beware of grumbling. When you read through 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is giving a history of the nation of Israel, the blessings that God gave them, all of them. There are five different things. They were all blessed with Moses, and they all ate the manna in the wilderness. Five things, all of them did. But with most of them, God was not pleased. Why? One of the accusations against them was they grumbled. Do you have a grumbling tendency in your personality? Beloved, I plead with you, confess it as sin and ask God for His help. I know grumbling comes so easy. It comes so easy. It's natural to us. The flesh loves to grumble. Flesh loves to complain. Is grumbling an evidence of the peace that passes all understanding? Is grumbling an evidence of walking by faith, not by sight? No, grumbling is an evidence of walking by sight, not by faith. Beware of grumbling. Whatever we're going to face in 2022, determine to face it with an ungrumbling attitude. Grumbling never solved anything. Again, I'm not saying that you ignore the obstacles. Ignore the obstacles, but don't fear, or be aware of the obstacles, but don't fear them. But don't grumble. There are a few things that seem to indicate a lack of faith in God more than grumbling. What did the people do? They grumbled. God said, go into the land. They grumbled. They sent spies into the land. The spies came back and brought a report. The people grumbled. If that is your tendency, take it to God. Ask Him for grace to not be a grumbler. Verse 34. Then Yahweh heard the sound of your words, and He was angry, and took an oath, saying, not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see the good land which I swore to give your fathers, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him and his sons I will give the land on which he has set foot, because he has followed Yahweh fully. Yahweh was angry with you, angry with me also on your account, saying, not even you shall enter there. Learn from past mistakes. Moses is reminding them 40 years ago, guys, we sent the spies in, 12 men, 10 of them brought back this bad report, 2 men stood up against them, Joshua and Caleb. And those of you that have been around our church long enough know Caleb's one of my heroes. Almost every time Caleb's name is mentioned in the Old Testament, it says he followed the Lord his God fully. He says it about himself. Moses says it about him. Joshua says it about him. And God says it about him. That's his reputation. So what happened? The people followed the advice of the ten. The people followed the advice of the ten. The ten who said, we can't go up there. There are giants in the land. What are they going to do? Because now they're on the verge of entering the land again. God has told them, go into the land that I'm giving you. What are they going to do? Are they going to follow their past example and refuse and say, no, we can't do that? Or are they going to learn from their past mistake that they've been wandering in the wilderness under God's judgment for 40 years because of, are they going to learn from their past mistake and not repeat it? Follow godly examples. As I mentioned, 2 men stood out among the 12. Caleb and Joshua. Caleb spoke up first and said, we can certainly go in, and with the help of God, we can drive out those people. And the 10 said, you're crazy. We can't do that. They're giants. Did you see those guys? Caleb and Joshua stood up for what was right, even though they were outnumbered, outshouted, out-argued. and outvoted. Follow godly examples. Do you have godly examples that you follow in your life? Men who direct you, men who exhibit for you a godly lifestyle, wise choices and decisions. Follow them. Don't follow the crowd. Most of the time, the crowd is wrong. Most of the time, the majority is wrong. Remember, Jesus said, not many wise, not many mighty, not many... No, Paul said that. Okay, Jesus said, wide is the gate and open is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate and straight is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Be among the few. Follow the few. Follow godly examples. Verse 41. Then you said to me, we have sinned against Yahweh. Will he indeed go out and fight just as Yahweh our God commanded us? And every man of you girded on his weapons of war and regarded it as easy to go up into the hill country. Yahweh said to me, say to them, do not go up nor fight, for man should have shaken them to their sandals. I am not among you. What a scary thing to hear from God. I'm not among you. And you will be defeated before your enemies. So I spoke to you, but you would not listen. Instead, you rebelled against the command of the Lord and acted presumptuously and went up into the hill country. The Amorites who lived in that hill country came out against you and chased you as bees do and crushed you from Seir to Hormah. Then you returned and wept before the Lord. Recognize that in your own strength, you will fail. Remember Psalm 127, verse 1? Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. We can't build Fellowship Bible Church. That's God's work. God will use certain things that we do to produce that, but ultimately, God has to work in people's hearts. We can be faithful, we can admonish people, we can pray for them, we can encourage them, we can hold up a godly example before them, but ultimately, God is the one who builds the church. You have no idea how much pressure that takes off. Not my job. My job is to preach the word faithfully and be a godly example to you. It's God's job then to build the church. Recognize in your own strength you will fail. The people said, okay, God said go up and conquer the land, and we refused, but we're going to change our mind now, and we're going to go do it. God says, don't do it, I'm not with you. Don't do it, I'm not with you. Somebody once said that their greatest fear was not that they would not succeed, but that they would succeed at something that was unimportant. That they would succeed in something that's unimportant. Beloved, if it's important, God will bless our labor, and He is the one who will bring growth. We have to recognize that. That's why prayer is so important. Because in prayer, we call upon the God who has to do the work. And we align our wills and our direction with Him. I believe that the people of Israel under Moses' direction in Deuteronomy chapter 1 were standing on the brink of a major change in their plans, just as we are standing on the brink at the beginning of 2022 and all that we might be doing. And I believe these principles are exactly what we need to follow. We need to follow God. We need to be obedient. We need to remember His past instructions and past faithfulness and learn from past mistakes. But remember, God is faithful, and He is the one who will do the work. When Israel followed Moses' instructions, God blessed them, and they were victorious. Let's determine that we will follow God's word and leave the results to Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this example, for the instruction we have from Moses. As he was instructing the nation of Israel as they were getting ready after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, getting ready to finally be obedient to God as God had instructed them 40 years earlier, and they had disobeyed. Now Moses wants to make sure they're going to obey this time. Father, all of these principles are principles that we need to remember as well. Thank you for Moses providing them for the nation of Israel. Thank you for the Holy Spirit providing these principles for us to apply to our lives as we enter 2022. Lord, this might be the time that you come for us. May we be ready by following routine, faithful obedience and staying close to you. Father, thank you for your word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. May God's grace be with you.